of education thus most effectively obscured, the means by which these ends should be attained are at best but high roads to nowhere. Education has become a vicious circle wherein the ignorance of one generation is transmitted like a hereditary taint to its progeny. Every form of social evil is made to thrive exceedingly, and the racial virtues are periodically threatened with extinction. Interpretation is the preponderant factor in modern teaching. The instructor perforce acts as an intermediary between the complexity of a science and the insufficiency of a partly developed mind. To interpret adequately is a divine gift, bestowed by the gods only upon those whose attainments rival the heroic deeds of myth and legend. A great interpreter is no less a master than a great originator, for only a mind as great as the conceiving mind can intelligently interpret the concepts of that conceiving mind. A proper instructor of the young is born, not made. His genius is supreme, for not only must he be able to grasp the infinite complexity of a subject, but he must also reduce that complexity to an orderly simplicity. He must think downward to those intellects that still verge upon the state of thoughtlessness, inclining them gently, reverently, yet unmistakably, toward rational procedure. Plato was dead 500 years before an interpreter was found worthy of the task of revealing the intellectual achievements of this illustrious mortal. Of all the Platonic successors, only Proclus sensed the significance and magnitude of Plato's contribution to human knowledge. Each century gives birth to but one or two truly creative or interpretive minds. All other claimants to proficiency and conversants are merely meddlers in matters of the mind, dabblers, dilettanti, veritable parasites upon the bodies of art and science. They suffer from that most loathsome and fatal of all diseases, ignorance of their own ignorance. The prime requisite of every great exponent of an art or science is that he shall recognize and emphasize its aesthetic and ethical aspects. Even such prosaic arts as carpentry and cookery may become media by which the mind can be introduced to the beautiful, the noble, and the good. Exoterica and esoteric K knowledge 325. 324 L lectures on ancient philosophy. Knowledge of any particular subject is profound enough to support the mind in a state commensurate with its dignity. The lack of rational philosophy common to this age is most evident in our educational systems, whose object ostensibly is to superimpose extraneous thoughts upon those half-awakened adolescent minds groping for substance amid the shadow of their own immaturity. Educators presumably have adopted Locke's theory that the juvenile mind is a blank sheet of paper, upon whose receptive surface must be scribbled conventional platitudes, premises, or admonitions. Regarding the intellectual equipment of youth as a sort of highly attenuated putty, instructors subconsciously relegate to themselves the molding of this mental stuff into the likeness of the conventional, the substantial, and the prosaic, what they esteem as the outstanding characteristics of sound and useful thought. Under the molding influence of the old, it is thus assured that the new life will be a replica of those inadequate generations which rise from their stupor only to blight futurity. When philologic pedagogues have finished poking their intellectual fingers into the plastic substances of his brain, its youthful owner is prepared to go forth into the world and repeat every imprudence which marred the tranquility of his ancestors. The dire circumstances that torment each succeeding generation are thus reinvoked and perpetuated. This mental overshadowing renders its beneficiary incapable of origin. A liddy even in vice, he cannot even make his own mistakes but must continue to repeat the errors of the ages and bow beneath such time-honored institutions as war and competition. With the possible exception of theology, nowhere outside the realm of education does man's egotism find more grandiloquent expression. Here fools in purple doublets sanctimoniously bestow their foolishness upon posterity. Having lost sight of the true purpose of education, these pedants regard him well cultured who thinks least and remembers most while in the schoolroom, but who, having matriculated into the greater concerns of life, there conveniently acquires the knack of forgetting even the little he once remembered. With the ends of education thus most effectively obscured, the means by which these ends should be attained are at best but high roads to nowhere. Education has become a vicious circle wherein the ignorance of one generation is transmitted like a hereditary taint to its progeny. Every form of social evil is made to thrive exceedingly, and the racial virtues are periodically threatened with extinction. Interpretation is the preponderant factor in modern teaching. The instructor perforce acts as an intermediary between the complexity of a science and the insufficiency of a partly developed mind. To interpret adequately is a divine gift bestowed by the gods only upon those whose attainments rival the heroic deeds of myth and legend. A great interpreter is no less a master than a great originator, for only a mind as great as the conceiving mind can intelligently interpret the concepts of that conceiving mind. A proper instructor of the young is born, not made. His genius is supreme, for not only must he be able to grasp the infinite complexity of a subject, but he must also reduce that complexity to an orderly simplicity. He must think downward to those intellects that still verge upon the state of thoughtlessness, inclining them gently, reverently, yet unmistakably, toward rational procedure. Plato was dead 500 years before an interpreter was found worthy of the task of revealing the intellectual achievements of this illustrious mortal. Of all the Platonic successors, only Proclus sensed the significance and magnitude of Plato's contribution to human knowledge. Each century gives birth to but one or two truly creative or interpretive minds. All other claimants to proficiency and conversance are merely meddlers in matters of the mind, dabblers, dilettanti, veritable parasites upon the bodies of art and science. They suffer from that most loathsome and fatal of all diseases, ignorance of their own ignorance. The prime requisite of every great exponent of an art or science is that he shall recognize and emphasize its aesthetic and ethical aspects. Even such prosaic arts as carpentry and cookery may become media by which the mind can be introduced to the beautiful, the noble, and the good. Ecoteric and esoteric K. Knowledge 325. 326 Lectures on ancient philosophy. Failure to perceive the substratum of divine agency below the surface of every physical procedure is to demonstrate one's disqualification to instruct in the elements of that procedure. Therefore, none but the idealist who can see the beautiful in all things should be entrusted with the education of a child, in whose nature it is hoped that the spirit of beauty will take up its abode. Of Greek philosophy it has been said that its interpretation was reserved for men who were born indeed in a baser age, but who, being allotted a nature similar to their master, were the true interpreters of his sublime and mystic speculations. See the introduction to the Select War / S of Plotinus. Of education in general, as of jurisprudence in particular, it is all too evident that the spirit is dead and only the letter remains. Those dependent upon it for intellectual sustenance sicken and ultimately become intellectual corpses from whom the rational life has fled. As without the fructifying principle the germ of potentiality cannot burst its confining walls, so without the higher ethics of philosophy, the seed of divinity resident in man can never be quickened. Only a comprehending soul rendered aware of the luminous realities behind the veil of form through the disciplines of right thinking, can dispel those illusions which, like the monsters of a fabled age, guard the adytum of the sacred sciences. The corruption that crept into its ethical institutes was the direct cause of the decadence of pagandom. Those custodians of the secret doctrine, the venerable hierophants of the monasteries, left their schools and hied themselves to the remote corners of the earth. Deprived of their inspired leadership, the mysteries became mere mongers of empty words. After courageously passing all the hazardous trials of the ancient rituals, the enthusiastic neophyte did not receive at the completion of the rites die promised esoteric knowledge. Sanctimonious priests could only drone garbled fancies, or whisper with bated breath elegant nothings in his ear. In the quest for truth, men will risk much, but even the most intrepid soul will hesitate to jeopardize life or limb for such dubious returns. A similar betrayal of trust also awaits the modern seeker after truth. The ends to be gained by modern education are so doubtful that there is much justification for the revolt of youth against a system which, in exchange for some 18 years of application, leaves him as unfit for life as before. While the social standing of the well-educated man may be a trifle more impressive and his earning capacity exceed that of his less schooled brother, he does not necessarily excel him in an understanding of those deeper issues of life with which higher education should be, but unfortunately is not, concerned. College men are quite as unhappy as illiterates, in fact their capacity for sorrow is enlarged, for their curriculum has acquainted them with a legion of miseries to which the uneducated are immune. All too often schooling complicates uncertainties, multiplies doubts, generates disquietudes, and verifies the growing suspicion that all creation is awry. Instead of solving problems, modern education complicates them. Reacting to this divergence of dictum and tenet, the mind, schooled beyond its capacity, either rejects them in toto to become a philosophic atheist, or making a show of digesting them becomes unbearably sophisticated. The defection of modern youth from education is more than a surface symptom. The student is content to slip through college with mediocre grades because he is firmly convinced that all the knowledge he can ever hope to secure is nugatory in solving the imminent problems of his life. Hence the chief incentive for distinction in scholarship is removed. When the modern college rose as a substitute for the ancient collegia, it fell heir to its task but not to its toga. While the collegia of Greece and Rome were the domiciles of a transcendent learning under the patronage of the gods and heroes, the colleges of today are but hollow imitations of these older and nobler institutions. In comparison to that sublimer knowledge disseminated by these ancient schools, modern houses of learning have become dispensaries of but the husks of knowledge. The illustrious record of the past must not be erased from man's memory. Modern methods, on the other